Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, and good evening. Welcome to the production of Giuseppe Verdi's Rigoletto. My name is Jessica Bejarano. I am the pre-opera lecturer here for the SF Opera, and I'm also music director of the San Francisco Philharmonic. I am extremely excited to share with you the insights, the pearls, the beauty of what we are about to experience together tonight in this room and from this stage. Giuseppe Verdi premiered his opera, Rigoletto, in 1851 in Venice, and it was an immediate success. It took Verdi only 6 weeks to compose this opera. 6 weeks. Rigoletto is considered by many to be the first of his operatic masterpieces and definitely one of the most performed operas in the world today. Rigoletto is a tragic opera with a dark story and haunting melodies. This dramatic, canonic, expressive opera is filled with fantastic music, extreme mystery, tension, and heartbreaking revelations from start to finish. This is a powerful and gruesome tale of love, betrayal, and revenge. An enduring masterpiece in the opera repertoire that showcases the genius of Verdi. Not only was Verdi busy composing this masterpiece, Rigoletto, but at the same time, he was also hard at work composing two other operas at the same time. The other two famed operas that he was working on was Il Trovatore and La Traviata. Verdi wrote Rigoletto in 1851, but earlier in 1832, Victor Hugo wrote a fictional play called, as it translates, The King Amuses Himself, which was about the life of a court jester named Triboulet, who served the 16th century King of France, who was known as a womanizer. The French authorities banned the play after just one performance for its negative, salacious, and disrespectful portrayal of a monarch. It was considered obscene, immoral. Verdi heard this and it perked up his ears. And him being a fan of Shakespeare, of drama, of these incredible figures, tragic figures, and intriguing contradictions, and Shakespeare himself, Verdi wrote to his librettist and said, quote, "There is a character in this play named Triboulet who is a creation worthy of Shakespeare. The subject is immense." So Verdi, extremely inspired, began to create his own opera around these characters and the dramatic storyline, but found that he was censored quite a bit due to the play being banned in France. Many changes had to occur for Verdi's opera to premiere in Italy. First, Verdi had to reconsider the title of the opera, which turned out to be a subtle inside joke inspired by Hugo's original play on the jester. Verdi and his librettist derived the name Rigoletto from the French word rigolo, which means funny or amusing. So the jester's name was changed from Triboulet, who was an actual real French court jester, to Rigoletto. Second, Verdi insisted on keeping a similar dramatic storyline, but had to change the character from a king to a duke. Verdi agreed, but he stated, quote, "The duke must be a libertine for the story to work," end quote. And third, he had to change the setting from the French royal court to the long extinct Duke of Mantua. And those are just three changes that he had to make, and there was many others along the way. The heart of this opera is the relationship between Rigoletto and his innocent, naive daughter, Gilda. The one tender thing in his life that he is extremely protective of. The father and daughter element in Rigoletto is so important to Verdi, extremely important to Verdi, as he himself has lost one of his daughters, Virginia, in infancy. And later on in life, Verdi lost his son and wife due to a fever. Verdi deeply recognized and sympathized with the experience of love and loss. So in this opera, he gives you, the audience, something deep, something real, something that you can hopefully relate to and understand and appreciate. And that's part of the genius of Verdi, his ability to reach the depth of our hearts and our souls. Now, Rigoletto, the character, is reviled, he's disrespected, he's hated for mocking people and for helping the Duke of Mantua, enabling him to be the callous, cynical womanizer that he is. When the Duke's womanizing is now focused on Gilda, Rigoletto's daughter, it turns Rigoletto into a really, really savage, seeing red tailspin. We see Rigoletto get increasingly stressed as the opera progresses. Rigoletto tries to save his daughter while also achieving revenge. And in the quest to do so, things get very, very, very twisted. Part of the success of Rigoletto is due to the perfect proportion of dark and light. Verdi was a very progressive thinker. He was trying to reform opera in a certain way, and in little ways and in certain senses. He was trying to reform and come up with new ideas. There are several moments of unusual orchestration in Rigoletto, and we hear that from the very beginning. Instead of the traditional overture, which presents the themes of the opera, Verdi starts Rigoletto with a 2-minute prelude. The preludio sets the theme for the opera. It starts very dark, very ominous, in a minor key. It is an attempt to foreshadow the drama that is about to unravel the storyline of the opera itself. Listen to the very, very beginning. A solo trumpet and a solo trombone begin the unraveling of these ominous dark chords, and Verdi gradually adds more and more instruments until we arrive at a very, very stormy climax. It's almost gothic and becomes tremendously violent, with repeated figures, chromatic bass lines that are incessantly hammered out. Then suddenly, the opening darkness pivots, and we are now in a brilliant, energetic, upbeat, allegro con brio scene. Now, just a quick little story. I was here for the dress rehearsal on Tuesday, and behind me was a family with kids, and the open preludio was just starting, and it, as I mentioned, it's very dark, it's very ominous, and the kid behind me said, "Mommy, I'm so scared, I'm so scared." I was like, "Oh my God, Verdi, I think you're achieving what you want." But from the very beginning, the music and the sets just really grab you and pull you in. It's just beautiful. Now I'm going to highlight some of the music, some of the arias. I've selected 6 that will kind of showcase the overarching story of Rigoletto. The first aria that I am going to share with you is from Act 1. It is sung by Gilda, and it is Caro Nome. This is one of the greatest soprano arias ever written, and it is accompanied by a solo violin. Here, Gilda has seen a handsome young man during her visits to church. She says, quote, "Even though we've never talked, we spoke with our eyes," end quote. She can't stop thinking about him. She has no idea who he is or where he is from. Imagine to her surprise when this same young man appears at her window one night and introduces himself as an impoverished student. He tells Gilda that he loves her. When he leaves, she reflects upon the happiness, never suspecting that he is actually the Duke in disguise. The text of this aria, quote, "Sweet name that first made my heart skip a beat. It fills my mind with visions of love. Now my every thought, my every desire will be for you. I will repeat his sweet name with my dying breath. My last sigh, my last thought will be yours." Now here's what to listen for in the music, okay? Now in Verdi's score, he depicts Gilda's sighs and her breathlessness in the music. That just kind of like, oh, being in love, oh, right? Seeing her love interest. He depicts this as she sings, "Listen for her," and how she briefly pauses in between each syllable as though she is out of breath. Listen for that. And there are three different types of virtuosic ornamentation in this aria. There are trills, there are melismas, a group of notes sung to one syllable of text, and very, very beautiful high notes. Please listen to a sample of Caro Nome. Please play sample number one. Absolutely stunning. The next music sample is from Act Two. We're gonna jump to Act Two, and it is sung by the Duke of Mantua. The title of this one, Posetta Amor Mia Ci Ama, Powerful Love Calls to Me. In this aria, the Duke of Mantua sings of his irresistible passion and excitement for Gilda as he rushes to be with her. She is in his chambers, but she is in his chambers because she has been abducted and put there. Now, the text of this aria, the text of what he sings, is as such. "Love is calling to me. I must go to her now. I'd give everything I have to make her happy. Now she'll know who loves her, who I really am. She'll know that even the Duke can be a slave to love," end love, end quote. Now, towards the end of this aria, we have the chorus jump in and sing this text. "What's come over him? How his mood has changed." Sample number two, please. Hey, man. the orchestration of Verdi is just so exciting. It's so brilliant. It's so beautiful. You guys are in for such a treat. Oh my God, I just get excited listening to these snippets. And it's not even us. It's going to be a great production. Okay, so the next sample I'm going to explain and showcase to you guys is the moment where Rigoletto confronts the courtiers who have kidnapped Gilda. This next aria expresses Rigoletto, who is extremely distraught. He is also in a state of rage and desperation. Cortegiani, the text of this opera that Rigoletto sings. Courtiers, vile, damnable, rabble, how much were you paid for my treasure? There's nothing you won't do for money, but my daughter is beyond any price. Give her back, or this hand, though unarmed, will prove a dread weapon. A man will fear nothing on earth when defending his children's honor. Assassins, open that door. You're all against me. You're all against me. Now, when we start the music, I want you to listen for the instant chaos, the fast tempo, the flurry of notes. It's turmoil, because that's what he's in. And I also want you to listen to his voice. There is anguish. There is rage. It is the voice of a father that is losing one of their children. Please play sample number 3. The musical drama is undeniable, both with the music, with the visuals, with the storyline. Everything that's happening on stage is just reaching a climactic point at that moment. Now, we're going to stay in Act 2, but we're going to jump to a different aria now. This one is Mio Padre, Mio Padre. In this one, it is a sober lament and confession of Gilda's shame and her disappointment after she has been seduced by the king and a betrayal of her father's wishes. Gilda's lament focuses on her own guilt and her own clouded ambition for a different life, a life beyond what she has created, and a sorrow for the life that is gone that her father wished for her. The oboe solo in this is one of the most famous oboe solos ever written, and it is absolutely exquisite and amplifies the drama and the sadness of the situation at hand. Please play sample number 4.
Yeah.
That is the happiest lament I've ever heard. I don't know about you. I will fix that. But it's still within the same act, and it's just the interaction between Gilda and her father, Rigoletto, and it's strong, whether in happiness, in anguish, or in sorrow. It's still a very, very fortified relationship that they both have. Okay, so we're going to move on to our fifth example, which is probably one of the arias, if you don't already know all of them, that probably everyone knows in this room, La Donna Immobile, one of the most famous songs ever written, not just in this opera, in any opera. It's like come out in commercials, TV shows, the Super Bowl for a Doritos commercial, like, yes, please. Or maybe not, I don't know. But still, it is sung by the Duke, and it is at the beginning of Act Three. Now, at this point of the opera, the Duke has come to a bar to dance and flirt. He is intoxicated. He is singing an upbeat song about the fickleness of woman, a very ironic sentiment, considering his own behavior. Now, here's a few interesting facts about this aria. The Italian La Donna Immobile is based on a phrase by a 16th century king. After he was betrayed by one of his many mistresses, Francis I, supposedly he engraved on his window pane, "Women are fickle, whoever trusts them is a fool." Victor Hugo, who wrote that play, who I mentioned earlier, used that exact phrase in his play, The King Amuses Himself, and so does Verdi here in Rigoletto. Next interesting fact about this piece, or this song, this aria, Verdi knew in his heart and in his mind that this aria was going to be a smashing hit. So much so that he kept the music of this aria secret from the tenor and the orchestra, only giving it to them just hours before the premiere as to not let it get out. And made public before the performance. He went as far as to forbidding anyone to enter the dress rehearsal. He wanted no one could hear this. And in a similar vein, inspired by Verdi, Tchaikovsky, in his The Nutcracker, The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, had the celesta music and the instrument in itself, because it had just been a new instrument that was brought into the music scene. So Tchaikovsky himself, for the Nutcracker, for the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, had the celesta and the music itself hidden before the premiere to surprise his composer rivals, Rimsky-Korsakov and Alexander Glazunov, to keep them from discovering the instrument and using its unique effect and sound before Tchaikovsky can do it in the Nutcracker. Please play sample number 5, La Donna Immobile. La Donna Immobile, qual più dal vento, muta l'accento e di pensiero. Sempre un amabile leggiadro viso, in pianto e riso e menzognero. La donna è mobile, qual più malvento, muta l'accento e di pensier. E di pensier. All right, and very quickly, the last sample I will share with you is also famous and masterful in that this is the first time a quartet is sung in a manner that is extremely effective, musical, expressive, and really showcases every person in that quartet and the storylines with clarity and absolute musicality and drama. This is Gilda, the Duke, Maddalena, and Rigoletto. It is Bella Figlia di Amore. Act 3, Beautiful Daughter of Love. Please play the final sample, sample 6. Bella. Keep your eyes wide open and your ears attentive to the nail-biting ending of one of the most famous operas ever written, Rigoletto. I hope you enjoy the performance. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good night.